dualism, the existence of two parts. In philosophy, dualism makes a distinction between the body and the mind. Moral dualism refers to the existence of good and evil working in opposition to one another. And in theology, dualism is often referred to as the idea that humans have two basic natures, the spiritual, the physical, and the spiritual. Getting my emotions mixed up. Or it can refer to the relationship between God and humans in a lot of traditions. Another dualism I've encountered is that between science and religion, and the assumption that the two are mutually exclusive. Opinions vary on the effectiveness of these divisions. Are the body and mind really separate? Or does what we know about neuroscience and biochemistry now provide an argument that they are inextricably linked? And similarly, are the body and the spirit two distinct parts of our human nature? Do we really have spiritual components to us that live on after our bodies age and die? Is God separate from humans, outside of our experience? Or is she within everything, including us, and experienced in a myriad of ways every minute of every day? Are science and religion two completely different aspects of human understanding? Or are they just different languages for describing the same thing? And are good and evil, are good and evil really separate? Or do they live within each of us, informing our responses to various events in our lives? There's an entire year of sermons in these questions. And I'm not going to answer a single one today. I'm going to focus today on the relationship between dualism and compassion, based on our reading from Thich Nhat Hanh. So the religion that leans most heavily on the idea of dualism, as far as I'm aware, is Taoism, the yin and yang symbol, right, with its clear differentiation of black and white sides in its circle, with a little bit of each in the other, represents this idea of opposite forces in balance with each other, rich and poor at the same time. In a paper published online for a 2011 class, a person who I can only assume is a student of religion named Morgan Whaley wrote a wonderfully descriptive summary of this idea. He writes, or she writes, or they write, "In Taoism, every force is influenced by either the yin or the yang, and occasionally by a combination of the two. The yin and the yang are the two complementary but opposing forces of nature. The key word," Morgan Whaley writes in this definition, "is complementary. Even though the yin and the yang are opposites, they are inherently harmoniously interrelated. The most important concept of the yin and the yang is that both must exist simultaneously for there to be harmony in the world. Harmony," they continue, "is essential to the Taoist view of dualism. Opposing forces exist everywhere in our universe to create balance. An imbalance of the yin and the yang forces chaos and dysfunction. In Taoism, nothing can be wholly positive or wholly negative." So in what ways are our minds and our bodies complementary? I invite you to start thinking. Or our bodies and spirits, science and religion, God and humans, good and evil. There are plenty of ways to experience these perceived opposites at the same time, maybe even in ways that provide some balance between them. Thich Nhat Hanh speaks of his joy like spring and his pain like a river of tears. These emotions happen at the same time, like yin and yang, opposites seeking harmony. They arise in compassion with the great good and the great evil that exists in the world in the same places at the same time. Yet Thich Nhat Hanh adds a third component into this equation, the part of himself as observer, and his ability to summon compassion for those who enact both the good and the evil in the world. This is where dualism becomes an insufficient frame for me. Thich Nhat Hanh's poem shows how he's learned to see seemingly opposing things as parts of a whole, even when they have to do with shockingly hurtful behavior. In an introduction to this piece that Karin read for us, he wrote, "In Plum Village, where I live in France, we receive many letters from the refugee camps in Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and the Philippines, hundreds every week. It is very painful to read them, but we have to do that. We have to be in contact. We try our best to help, but the suffering is enormous, and sometimes we are discouraged. It is said that half the boat people die in the ocean. Only half arrive at the shores of Southeast Asia, and even then they may not be safe. There are many girls," he writes, "boat people, who are raped by sea pirates. Even though the United Nations and many countries try to help the government of Thailand prevent that kind of piracy, sea pirates continue to inflict much suffering on the refugees. One day we received a letter telling us about a young girl on a small boat who was raped by a Thai pirate. She was only 12, and she jumped into the ocean and drowned herself." When you first learn of something like that, he writes, you get angry at the pirate. You naturally take the side of the girl. As you look more deeply, you will see it differently. If you take the side of the little girl, then it is easy. You have only to take a gun and shoot the pirate. But we cannot do that, he writes. In my meditation, I saw that if I had been born in the village of the pirate and raised in the same conditions he was, there's a great likelihood that I would become a pirate. I saw that many babies are born along the Gulf of Siam, hundreds every day, and if we educators, social workers, politicians, and others do not do something about the situation, in 25 years, a number of them will become sea pirates. That is certain. If you or I were born today in those fishing villages, we may become sea pirates in 25 years. If you take a gun and shoot the pirate, all of us are to some extent responsible for this state of affairs. After a long meditation, I wrote this poem, and in it, there are three people, the 12-year-old girl, the pirate, and me. Can we look at each other and recognize ourselves in each other? The title of my poem is Please Call Me By My True Names, because I have so many names. When I hear one of those names, I have to say yes. A strictly dualistic view would also see these things as parts of a whole, but I think in a different way. It would hold that the girl and the pirate are opposing forces in a world that needs to be brought into balance, that they coexist but are distinctly different in nature and cannot be reconciled, although balance may be achieved. I had a conversation with another white Unitarian Universalist this past week, several, as a matter of fact. But one, in particular, who observed that, for them, it seemed that a lot of the tensions and issues we're hearing about on the subjects of racism and police brutality are framed in terms of what they called a pick-a-side kind of way. This resonated with something I've been thinking about lately, about opposites, which brought that up for me, but also about how we Unitarian Universalists are framing our social justice efforts. Standing on the side of love. Are we implying that there are only two sides? And what are we saying about what the other side is standing for? Are those folks on that other side not also human beings of deep moral conviction who do what they do for their own very good reasons? Do they not also believe that they are standing on the right side? And yet, concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel said in his Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech in 1986, "We must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, not the tormented." We do have to take a side when we see injustice, oppression, ignorance, but it doesn't have to be one of just two clearly defined and completely opposed sides from which we choose. And we can take a side with deep consideration and compassion, learning to recognize ourselves in each of the sides from which we choose. If we look at the world and each other through a dualistic lens, categorizing the ways in which we're alike or different, we tend to leave very little room for building relationship. If we think of the world in terms just of opposite forces that we work to bring into balance with one another, we limit ourselves and what we can accomplish. But if we can learn to recognize ourselves in each other, even in extremes like 12-year-old refugee girls and the pirates who rape them, even in extremes like young black men and the fearful white people who kill them, we have a place to start. And why would we want to start making relationship in the midst of this? Because in learning to view all people as human like us, no matter how strongly they disagree with us, no matter what wrongs they've committed, we can move forward in learning how to respond with compassion. If we simply take a gun and shoot the pirate, if we simply condemn the white police officer or neighborhood watch volunteer, we're no better than they are. Our oppressors are victims of the same systems as our oppressed, and we do ourselves emotional and spiritual damage when we forget that. The Tao Te Ching says, if you want to become whole, let yourself be partial. If you want to become straight, let yourself be crooked. If you want to become full, let yourself be empty. We need to know what it is to be on the other side of the dualism. If we're going to be whole and just together, we have to be able to recognize ourselves in each other and then take a side. That will help us realize that, like some of the dualism we create, the sides can be a distraction from the real issue of tearing down the systems that require inequity to continue and replacing them with systems in which piracy and rape, in which race-based violence are not even an option. May it be so. May we be so.